Hey, thank you all for coming out tonight. I've really been especially looking forward to tonight because I have a chance to hear some of my especially good friends read, and also to hear someone I've heard so much about reading here, I think, for the first time. And we're going to go in a little different order. We're going to go alphabetically backward this time. And we're going to be starting with Justin Hopper, who is not only a journalist but a poet, and he's a writer and an artist living in Pittsburgh. And his criticism and journalism have appeared worldwide. And his artist book of documentary poetry called Public Record, based on 19th century Pittsburgh crime reports, was published in 2010. I was really lucky enough to be at the book launch. What I have to say was one of the most fun book launches of all time. It was really outrageous. We should have more book launches like that. Okay. These Legends, a book of poetry written in response to Max Ovanka's Millvale Murals, is forthcoming in the fall of 2011. Please raise it up for Justin Hopper. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much. Please excuse my nerves a little bit. I don't actually do the poetry reading thing very often. And in fact, I was thinking earlier today, the last time I read poetry at Hemingway's, I'm going to be 39 in August. Last time I read poetry here, I had a fake ID so that I could buy Guinness. But it was in this room, and so it's a sort of homecoming. Of course, I was young and ballsy and probably thought I owned the world, but now I'm nervous. As Joan mentioned, I have this book called Public Record. It's poetry based on 19th century Pittsburgh crime reports. I'm going to read a couple that are from or related to that book. The first one is called The Murderer Fitzsimmons and Laura Snowden, The Versatile Adventuress. This is about a couple who were essentially the Bonnie and Clyde of 1880s Pittsburgh. Everyone would have known them for years and years and years, and now, of course, they're completely forgotten. I wrote this for Valentine's Day. It's a sonnet. It's called A Precious Pair. Old dastardly Fitzsimmons, the unrepentant thief, whose Allegheny exploits earned 100 hangman's hooks, may have drawn the peeler's scorn and widow's grief, but writ for e'er his name in Eros books. Miss Laura Snowden, beautiful, young, and free of mind and soul, was sure the cause of many's strife. She kept within her clasp a rascal's diary of names she'd bilked of cash and robbed of life. Fitzsimmons' runes, inked in a different scrawl, she drew as sailors' charts across her breast. With every crime did Laura further fall, till the jailer's turning keys put love to rest. A blade may part the passioned blood they share, but never shall man part this precious pair. This is an epilogue to another poem that's about a man named Andrew Tierney, who was stabbed to death in the Irish ghetto that's now the Point. And this is what I discovered, a family lineage of horror for a few generations. So this is the generations that happened afterwards. You will suffer for that lick. One, the famous stone fights, the boys along Penn Avenue with the Hill Boys, have continued the past 40 years. On April 1st, they were worse than usual. I was throwing my arms up when the shot was fired. I am sure I did not want to harm any of the boys. Peter Tierney, 13, was wounded in the knee. Gangrene aids the bullet's work. The boys' sufferings were terrible. Two, nothing occurred to anger him. Witnesses were called to testify to the broken lamp glass on the stairway of the Tierney house, of the smell of oil and of the burning clothing, of Mrs. Tierney running from the house, her clothes on fire. Three, James Rooney, charged with the murder of Peter Tierney. Rooney fired into a crowd of boys on April 1st. The deceased was the son of John Tierney, now serving a term for causing his wife to be burned to death. All right. These are a couple different things, short pieces I've been writing based on archaeological records and paleontology in the Pittsburgh area. Transitive. The once sainted clique, the fearful claptrap of an exclaimed point. Steel my tongue against the ash-blackened fossil that bears witness to this passing. Hearts. We met at the corner, like a line of small decayed posts edging toward the drive. The posts ended in the underlying natural gravels, puncturing the earth, rhythmic like a scythe. This square footage we walk each morning, over pavement pocked with holes that gather sacred rings of snow, past garages and covered cars like barrows that erupt from our corner landscape and, in strata of circulation, beat out their archaeology, the source of an anomaly identified by both magnetic and resistance surveys, a murmur in the sidewalk's heart. That piece actually, until a few days ago, was, part of it, a fragment of it, was on the billboard above the waffle shop in East Liberty. Because, you know, it's all about a street corner. Let's all take a drink of our beers. As Joan wonderfully mentioned, I have a book coming out. Coming out is one way to put it. I'm putting out a book of we're all in the same game here. We know how this works. Of poems that I've written, a cycle I've written about, inspired by the Max Ovanka murals over at St. Nicholas Croatian Catholic Church in Millvale, which I'm sure 99% of you have been to, and if you haven't, you really should. It's one of the true treasures of the area. That Father Jaga was the one who commissioned the murals. So this is the last three pieces of that nine poem cycle. Part 7, and if there's any Croatians here, I really apologize for my pronunciation. Part 7, Lipa. This tree is Lipa, it is Telia. The linden tree, the holy lime. Its trunk, its roots, cracked through the churches in Kamov's time. This tree, its bark colored the same as that knee, makes shelters and crucifixes from its wood, makes swirls of music from the wind in its leaves, makes stronger chains than any iron could. Beneath its branches, the shroud of shelter's false allure, its heart-shaped leaves cooked into tea, an aching search for a cure. Its roots stretch far underground, like Kamov's pilgrimage to the dead, with a pen as his trumpet playing reveille o'er ground broken by crosses and Socratic dread. Drainage and genesis, automorphic, halomorphic, a high percentage of hydromorphic soil, as investment came to a halt after independence and intensive Pannonian depopulation after the recent war. This earthen tarp that stretches both worlds is paid for in oxen and paid for at till. Stretches farther than Lipa can shroud with its leaves, so all of you get together under my quill. I glanced toward the altar and the two-sided tail, but when I tried to describe it, my string got stuck. Not on notes of crescendo or operatic wail, but in the trenches of language, the immigrant's muck. To rise above the dried-out mire, tai kovitlanje, tai horda, and to speak što je nesto verlo los, ishba lovragu is torba. This room is so full of ghosts sometimes that I can hardly breathe, and so full of silence that I can hardly speak. Part 8, Prudence, Mute. I can hardly speak, though suddenly I have new words to say. Oprejnost, with one finger to her mouth, and in her hand the lipa tree. She whispers through clenched lips a warning. The rough, befouled fields of one home, the thicket-woven fences smeared with blood, and the spire-like industrial towers of another, its own defenses cauterized into forests of iron turrets. These are marginal assets. These are equitable ransoms. These are graveyards of one century and poppy fields of another. Celecana, the swirling spire-spiked castles of Johnstown and Millvale, inspire us to spar with Parisia, to Nicholas's battle with Eleutheria, to fireside chats that we do not understand, and vows of silence like crude masks of cotton and gauze held over the nose and mouth by two strings. Gradanski rat, runs rabid around the church's flagstones, gnawing at the knees of ghosts, clawing at the egg tempera paint that blurs swirling green and gray into a lifelong tempest that darkens the door of both homes and sways the lipa and the linden leaves. I felt so alone. So crammed with words and mire, with green and gray, with thicket and spire, my head spun and swirled and silently cried at the pushing and the pulling of the moon's fickle tide. And when I opened my gauze-covered eyes, I saw I had rid myself of mouth-muting guise, and Uncle had never left my side. Yet he seemed so far away. The new words, the new phrases, the new ghosts were threatening to overwhelm me, but Uncle gently tugged my collar and guided me out onto the church and onto the city's silent street just past midnight. Epilogue. Mother. Just past midnight, backlit by the moon, the boast of homes held snug from any harm is framed on the hill by cirrus smoke and starry skies like huddled arms of Mary, Mother, Micah, Avotach, Father, Nicholas. All right. Now I'm going to leave you with one last thing. I think I have two more minutes, right? One more minute? All right. So this is the final piece from the public record book. Believe it or not, I actually have a couple copies here for sale today. And more than that, there's actually a pamphlet I can give you with, there's actually an iPhone app and text message system that goes with this so that you can listen to the pieces in the locations around downtown where the crimes initially occurred. So if you want to check that out, it's like poetry, but 21st century. Anyway, so this is the last piece. You know, on the paper, sometimes they'll have like a photo of like a beautiful sunrise over the city or something. Before they could run images, run photographs, they would have these pen pictures. And the writer would go and do the same thing, but with writing. And this is a four-part piece. This is the last part of that that I made out of some of those pen pictures. It's called Dawn in a Big City, Too Brave to Have Reveled by Gaslight. Blinds whisked up, shutters clanged back. Sleepy eyes by the thousands gazed upon the morn. The mist slowly shaded into blue, then lifted altogether. A morning train rattled into the Baltimore and Ohio by the riverside. Its bell rang clear and loud over the low murmur of the town, but just awakening. Old Father Sun was awake, too brave and royal on his throne to have reveled by gaslight, and it occurred to Jones and I that it was time to return to our domiciles. Walking home, we passed a florist. Fresh flowers had just come in from the country, and their fragrance loaded the air. We stayed a moment to enjoy and then hastened to our couches with two white chrysanthemums in our buttonholes, and the sparrows in the eaves twittered us to sleep. Thanks.